Welcome back to How to Tickle Yourself, a podcast about the miracle of existence. I am your host, Duff McDonald, along with my co-host, Joey of Rockledge.
Hello.
In every episode, we and our guests try to seek out and grab hold of the tickle of our true selves. By sharing stories about the great things in life, we hope to point the way to the goal of all goals, the source of infinite bliss, the supreme reality itself. Maybe we'll find it someday. In the meantime, we hope at the very least to inform and entertain with conversations that hover at ratings approaching 100%. And how to tickle yourself, we are always pushing on through to the next challenge, just like our guest today, Chris Galen. Chris is an old friend of Rockledge. Among other things, he is the man who pointed me to the defunct kombucha store out on Route 28 that's now gone, the patronage of which led me to start making my own kombucha. So you might say we owe him everything. When he's not helping change the direction of my life, Chris is a singer-songwriter, musician, and record producer. Last month, he released his first music as a solo artist, the single Just Another Love Song. You can find it on Spotify. Is a grooving indie rock song reminiscent of early Blur. It features a distorted, driving post-punk bass sample over live drums and a Lou Reed-esque half-spoken vocal. It draws influences from 90s sample-delic artists such as Lemon Jelly, with twangy dobro, guitar, and piano samples combined with the Stonesy guitars and claps. It mixes house music vibes with a nostalgic rock feel. Got it? In other words, it's an awesome song. Go listen to it right now. Chris grew up in Central New Jersey, began playing piano, cello, and guitar during primary school. His mother was a jazz singer. And at the age of 7, when he told her he was going to be a musician, she suggested he focus on studying the piano, and it stuck. In middle and high school, he started playing in punk and jam bands and recording demos in local studios. He enrolled at Mason Gross at Rutgers in New Jersey to study classical and jazz piano, arranging, conducting, and composition. But after spending too much time practicing piano during his first 2 years, he developed tendonitis, dropped out, and moved to New York City, where he began working as a pianist and arranger in pit bands for off-Broadway musicals. It's also where he met yours truly and yours truly part two. Next up, music production. Chris taught himself to record on computers by producing music on an iPad for a few years and then focused on making electronic dance music and hip hop. He began working as an assistant mix engineer and developing skills in digital music production. Not too long ago, he moved out to Los Angeles, where during the pandemic, he decided to build his own recording studio in East LA, where he works as a producer and mix engineer. Chris has toured in over 20 countries of the world as a sideman and band director, playing in everything from classical orchestras to country bands. He has also given me a couple of good surfing lessons.
Me too.
But back to where we started here. Chris just released his first solo single, Just Another Love Song, a couple weeks ago. The second single is due out in early 2024, the full album after that, and he hopes to start touring this spring with a band he put together for the project. It is a great, great, great artistic achievement, so we're here to celebrate it, and our friend Chris. Chris, great to see you. Glad to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Duff. Thanks for the introduction. Appreciate the kind words.
Present moment, traveling town to town, the mystery of the motion, right here, right now, right here, right now, whoa, right here, right now.
Okay, so I want to get just straight to the point because I have a question. One,
the new song is amazing. I was like, I liked it immediately. And I made Duff's daughter Marguerite listen to it. And I've sent it to a couple of my friends, very impressed with it. So I know that you write the lyrics and the music and you also produce.
Yeah.
So at what point along the way do you feel that sort of tickle? Like the thing that you're like, oh, this is good. Like, I know this is good.
Well, you know, it's funny, like when I make music, I only follow tickle. Like that's right. It. That's all there is. But somewhere along the way, you try to finish something. And that's really what's taken me so long to get my own music done is there's been initial tickles and then you start working on things and working with other people. And then suddenly it doesn't tickle somewhere. And, you know, I've been acutely aware of when it doesn't tickle. So it's taken me so long to get to a place where my mantra has been something I heard Quincy Jones say, which is that I think Nina Simone told Quincy Jones this back in the day. And she said, your music is only as good as you are a human being. And so I think my music is actually getting finished now because I've been growing as a human being and being aware of when things tickle and when things don't. This song has got a funny story to it where actually I wrote the song, and this song was actually originally, it was probably, I don't know, three long, very wordy verses, right? And it had a different chorus. Anyways, it was originally like 8 minutes long, and I recorded this song. I started new lyrics like maybe 4 p.m. and then finished the lyrics at about midnight, started recording them. And then about 3 a.m. in the morning, I realized that after I'd finished recording the vocals and edited them, that there was only one lyric that worked. And that's the first from this song. And at that moment, I mean, I started writing again and I wrote the rest of the song and recorded it. I was probably done with this by about 9:30 in the morning. So the vocals you hear on this of circa 8 a.m. But this is just sometimes how it goes. And actually, this is how it always goes. You get into the passionate spin of things and suddenly you realize the sun is coming up in the studio.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't expect to hear someone say, I record my best vocals at 8 a.m.
Well, if you've been up since the night before, right. Yeah. I mean, the classic golden hour in the studio is 6 a.m.
That's my favorite time of day.
Okay.
But they usually are being up from the night before, although, you know, the challenge is always trying to balance passion and health, because this is, you know, only as good as you are well slept, I really do believe.
Amen,
you know,
to that.
It's interesting. My brother Steve, who's the artist whose productivity goes through outrageous periodic spurts, and it's clear that he can't be sleeping that much because of what his output is. So yeah, definitely. When he's on fire, he just doesn't go to sleep. I've never had that as a writer. I tended to be more like, I'd go to bed at 10 in order to get up early and write.
Yeah. I mean, I know a couple producers in LA that now they have, you know, a wife and kids, and I have one guy I know, he likes to pick his kids up from the bus at 3 p.m. So he doesn't want to be in the studio all night, but he really thinks that, you know, 4 a.m. is really the best studio time. So really, he's well off enough now that he can actually call bands to show up at the studio at 3 a.m.
Well, 4 a.m. has been the best time for our meditations. We've been waking up between 4 and 5 and getting up to meditate.
But getting a rock band in L.A. to show up to the studio at 3:30 in the morning.
So
you know, well, you know. I would assume that they're paying as much enough to hire this guy. They're showing up at least workable.
So, wait.
Let's back up a sec here.
Okay.
Chris, when we were trading, you're talking about health there, right? And when we were trading texts about your bio earlier this week, you responded with the following, which I just want to read out loud because it's so great. You said, those are the facts, but the subtext is personal growth, persistence, and vision, and their counterparts, confusion, addiction, and perfectionism, which is really more the actual story. But those facts are so subjective and ever-evolving, it's hard to put them into any kind of concise linear narrative.
Yeah.
As a writer, I am jealous of that, what you just wrote there, because it's so clear and clean. So tell us about, so what, and you mentioned it, personal growth, but what changed where you took, where you've gone to the next level? Because we can feel it. We've been fans of your music all along, but we could also feel this one. It's that you took a step up. You have taken a step up. What happened?
Failure. coming to a place of but the growth and failure back to back. So I think really what's happened is that you know, there's making music is a hard thing to do. There used to be big teams to help artists develop, and money would get put into unknown artists. But now you don't really get signed unless you have social media following, and you're not really going to reach anybody. Like it's all business. Like it's all direct interaction from the artist to your fan group. I mean, Taylor Swift is the best example of that. And so as I started to get the music together in different iterations over the years, and especially over the last 2 years since I built my studio, I've had to bring in team members to help me out. So I mix for a living, but I don't mix my own music. My buddy, Simon Gooding, who does all the Pink's records and a ton of great stuff in New Zealand, who I met him out there. He mixes my record. I don't play drums. So I have a drummer now. I have a studio assistant that I work with. And I think really the building of the team is what really changed me, because I was in panic mode for so many years, trying to figure out how to get my music out, finish it in a way that I felt was good. And what I wasn't doing was taking care of myself. I was working too much. I was, you know, taking Adderall all night and like being a maniac and panicking, basically like a sub feeling of just freaking out. How do I do this? I really have this thing I know I need to share, but I'm in my own way. And I didn't see it. So as I started to bring on other people that I work with, especially my drummer, my partner, my band, he's really my bandmate, Ethan Snyder, a great guy from Vermont. He's actually out in Vermont right now hanging out. Having him around, he's sober. He's been sober for 8 years. So having him around and then having to be the leader in the team really made me have to change how I operate in my work mode. And that's also changed my personal life. And like failing at that for a little bit and having things not work with the team that I really wanted to keep made me grow and have to change. And then suddenly the music just clicked.
The company you keep is that's a lot of the sages will talk about how important that is, right? For your spiritual growth, but I guess for growth of on any level, right?
Buddha there's a famous story of the Buddha talking with Ananda, his first disciple. And Ananda's looking at over the Sangha, the community below them on the hill. And he says, isn't this amazing that this is part of this, like the side effect? And the Buddha looked at him and said, this is everything. This is the whole.
Yep. Definitely. So yeah. I wanted to circle back just to the beginning. So you were talking about how difficult it is to kind of get to the finished product, right? That you know, you follow the tickle. So how do you know when a song is done? How do you stop?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to be totally honest, I kind of just for this year, I just sat, I read a lot. So I listen to producers and I read about how they do things and how they produce. I read, there's a really great journal of 1 year of Brian Eno's life called, I think it's called the Brian Eno Diary. And basically I was hearing how they were just finishing so many songs so quickly. And it's been such a struggle for me to do that. And so one day I pretty much just sat my butt in the chair and said, I'm going to finish the song or I'm going to be dead in this chair.
Just keeping it light.
Yeah, no, I was so frustrated, and I really just was like, there was a bit of spite in it, and that definitely it was the first thing I finished, I think, and was this song. I just pretty much just sat in the chair and was like, I'm not leaving until it's done.
I think it takes that sometimes, that sort of commitment, like Michael Singer talking about he's an author that's written about meditation. And he said the first like really breakthrough meditation he had, he's like, I'm going to sit by this tree and I'm going to stay here until something happens. He says he doesn't know how long he was there. It was a couple hours, but it was that sort of that commitment, you know, to get something done.
Yeah, just get it done and get it done well. I mean, I think really one of the struggles I've had as a producer for other people's music is that, and one of the things that pushed me into doing my own singing was that it could come time to deliver something and people get shy or they back away. And I'm a really big fan of Stephen Pressfield. I'm sure you guys know him.
No.
The War on Art, and his second book, which is even better, Turning Pro. And he just says, what you got to do is just put your butt in the chair. Don't worry about anything else.
Yeah, we were talking to these guys last week about that new Bob Dylan book. And we asked them what the secret to mixing up the medicine was, what they learn about it. And essentially the answer was, you just got to do it. Right? Yeah. Stop talking about it. Stop thinking about it. Just do it. Keep doing it. And if you keep doing it, you'll get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that's it. And now it's like, I got to prepare for the passion. I don't know if you have these, you don't work all night long, but like, I try not to work all night long as ever. I'm hard out at one in the morning. Gotta be. Cause I need to wake up and I do a couple different jobs during the day working on other people's music and stuff like that. And I gotta be up in the morning. But once in a while when the passion hits, the time just stops. Like time completely stops. 20, like 12 hours will disappear like that. Like I was finishing my second single earlier this week and it was about 11 at night and I started playing bass. And I realized it was suddenly 4 a.m. I was still playing the bass and it had gotten way much better. And it was done. I finished the tune, but there was no time. It just disappears. And so balancing that, and really this is the main thing I think I'm trying to work on and why the music is getting done and hopefully why I'm able to get it out to people in some kind of meaningful way, is that I'm preparing for moments of passionate spurt. So I'm sleeping all the time.
The Guru Mai calls that the yoga of discipline.
Oh yeah, exactly. Discipline, but self-care, and I had some really intense experiences this summer that shook me to the core a bit. I think maybe helped change me a bit. I had a really intense, this is an intense story, heads up, trigger warning. I was at a hotel about 3 weeks ago at a hotel rooftop bar after going to see something with a Basquiat exhibit downtown LA, which was really beautiful. And I was on the roof of the hotel and this guy next to me smiled and then climbed the fence and jumped off the roof and killed himself.
Oh my God.
And that shook me real, really hard, I would say. This is about 4 weeks ago now. And wow. I've had to just like really, really dial in on taking care of myself to stay stable feeling.
Yeah.
And that's even helped even more. I think, you can take any experience, good or bad, and turn it into a good experience, I think. And that's kind of just try to take that attitude and grow and open my heart and not be afraid of overwhelming feelings. And then, that translates. I think if you're an artist and you're getting good at it, it means you've gone through the trauma of being bad at it. Even if you're great at it, people don't believe it. Just tell you that. So you have to be the first person to really push through all of these intense experiences. And these few things that I've had, recently, I adopted a cat this summer. Duff.
Congratulations.
Oh, yay.
And then the cat got sick and had to be put down, which was
no.
So it's just been a bunch of heartbreak and like great triumph altogether this summer. That just really, I think, changed me forever.
Sorry. No. I was gonna say it's one of the gifts I've found as I've gotten older is that the hard things, you're not as scared, right? Like you can move through them. And that once you learn to just do that, move through it, it kind of changes everything, and it opens you up to something else. It's when sort of clamp down that it causes trouble.
I mean, you guys knew me in New York. I mean, you can take hard experiences and you can bury them in drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. Or
what? I've never. Well, that's a method people use.
I've heard. And it's never ever. You guys know it just never ever gets you anywhere. It puts you right back in the same experiences in a different iteration later on. And so, this is why I was saying it's hard to create a linear narrative about struggle and suffering and addiction, because these things change as you change, like what they meant in the past. And people say you can't change the past. I totally, totally, wholeheartedly disagree. The past changes drastically depending on your perspective.
Dylan has a line where someone says you can't change the past. And he says, what do you mean? Of course you can. So Here's an issue, Joey. So back when you knew Chris before me, but around the time that I met him, we had this other friend, Chris, who was also in our social circle. So in our in my iPhone, there was Big Chris and there was Little Chris. Little Chris appears to have grown up. I'm going to have to change his tag in my phone.
Little Chris was always taller. He was just lankier. He should have been lanky Chris and round Chris, I think maybe is the way we should have described him.
So,
Kevin Lanky.
Every now and then I'd forget your last name and I'd be like, it's all right. He's just in there under Little Chris.
Yeah. Little Chris.
I'll grow up.
If I ever start rapping, you know, I could go, you can pull that.
Lil. That would be Lil Chris.
I'm white.
All right. It's going to be. So talk to us about the rest of the album. How's that going? And when can we expect to hear more? Because we want to.
Well, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff of demos and stuff I'm going to put up on SoundCloud for people to listen to. Like just rough take stuff that I'm probably never going to put out. I'm going to put up a bunch of random stuff because there's definitely been a lot of people asking for other music. But then I'm going to start really rolling out singles in February through the springtime and maybe an EP at the end of the spring. And I got a bunch of stuff done. I'll send you some of that secret sauce underneath and behind the scenes. But basically, yeah, I've just been working on, I've been writing more music and trying to figure out what I want to be doing. And the way I think about what I'm doing is what do I want to do live? That's how I've been approaching music. There are a lot of people that can really produce beats and do different things, but I really like playing with musicians. That's what I've always loved doing. I feel like that's where the juice is when you get the synergy between people in a band. It's always different and it's always magical in a different way. And I know so many good musicians and I'm blessed to have a bunch of them playing in my band, which is great. So I've been working on music that kind of reflects a bit more of live feel, or I don't know, just trying to keep writing songs. Usually when I write songs, I don't even know what they're about until later on. So I'm starting to just like digest what songs feel like they're about something and the songs I don't feel like they're about anything at all. But I have about 6 or 7 songs done now, probably another 20 songs that I've written that I'm working on recording.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I probably have, I mean, over the last 2 years, I've probably written 150 songs.
Good Lord. I could see how that wouldn't leave too much time for sleeping.
I'm trying to think of what I've done 150 times in the last 2 years. Brush my teeth, maybe.
Well, like
I've raised 150 seedlings for sure.
Oh, there you go. Well, I think almost all of these 6 songs that I'm finishing now, I think I wrote all of them in one day.
Wow. It was a good. Well, Tickled itself. I've written a couple books that took a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And Tickled came out of me in 6 weeks and it didn't. It was the easiest thing that ever happened. It was when that shift happens, which I'm sure you're talking about, from something being work to something just like it's like you're watching it happen. It's the greatest thing in life to suddenly be like, I think I just figured out how to do this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Duff, as well as anyone, I know how much time you spent in the Golden Passport and struggling through that. I mean, I feel like you have to do that kind of stuff though, as an artist, like that's the development part of it. And that's where, you know, that's the dark night of the soul part, where if you don't do that, then you won't ever find that freedom in making something easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, like, I mean, like when I work on the computer and when I work with in the studio, like I don't think about the studio anymore. Maybe I'll think about a microphone a little bit or like, you know, a certain, you know, effect a little bit, but I know the tools inside and out now. And so these things get in the way and I'm only thinking about specifically what does it tickle? You know, and you know, this, did you ever get the chill up your spine when you see a really good band?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much like I'm a master at that. Like I'm a master at creating that for myself now. So like I've been living very clean in the studio, but that doesn't make any difference because when that tickle comes, that is the strongest drug of all time. Like, yeah, and I was playing bass the other day and it was just like, oh, this is the vibe. Oh, this is the vibe. Oh my god. Oh wow, vibes. And then suddenly the sun is up and you're like, oh my god, I have a meeting and 2 hours.
My version of that in 2020, I started turning to Joey while I was reading like Swami Muktananda or Aurobindo. I would turn to her and say, I got that feeling in my spine again. And it was from reading yoga stuff where it was basically same thing, sort of touching truth somehow, right? It's the, you get to the sound inside you or the voice inside you. When you touch the center, it's like, oh!
It's about Kundalini, but I get the feeling that it's kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah.
All related, of course, right?
Yeah, for
right.
sure.
So tell us, we ask the guests these days for a couple of tickles in their lives separate from what we're talking about, right? So we just talked about the songs and the music and stuff. What else is tickling you? What are a couple of things that have produced better feelings than the loss of a cat?
Yeah. Well, the loss of a cat was a good feeling. I feel like I still made that into a positive one, but I love cats now, you know?
Cats are great.
I would say definitely, I've been spending a lot of time trying to get out in nature every day. That's not something that I've always prioritized, being in the studio a lot. So I go hiking pretty much every day now. And I've been getting into...
How very LA of you. I mean, we try to hike here, but yeah, well done.
I mean, it's beautiful hiking here. Right. I mean, if you're hiking, one of the most scenic hikes I've ever been on in my life, and it just happens to be 10 minutes down the road.
Wow.
But I've been doing that, and I've also been getting very into hot yoga. That's been my other tickle recently.
Yeah, yoga.
Yeah. So between hiking, yoga, and cooking, those are probably the three main tickles in my life.
He's copying us, Joey. He's copying us.
It's sort of the key, right? It's like it's a trifecta, and just take care of your body and get in nature and feed your body, tickle your body.
What are you doing? Yeah, hot vinyasa or Bikram?
Hot vinyasa.
Yeah, it's better.
Nice.
Yeah, I just love the heat. It's good. Oof.
Yep.
And this place I hike has a long trail in the beginning, and I noticed that there's a large Japanese community that lives there. It used to own all the property in Griffith Park, but then somehow, I guess during World War II, the property got taken away. It was a bunch of Japanese fruit orchards, actually. And I met this guy, a Japanese guy, who explained this to me up there. He has a garden up on top of Griffith Park. And I noticed that he was barefoot on this trail. And he's like, oh yeah, we maintain this trail so you can walk it barefoot. So I walked the trail.
That's great. Oh yeah. I think that's so important.
Chris just reminded me. So when I bought Rockledge in 2014, met him in 2016, and he was coming up here. He was the number one guest for a couple of years. And when you're driving up 87, when you turn just past exit 15-16, there's this giant building up on the side of a mountain. It's just sticking out. And we always used to sit there and say, what the fuck is that place? And one day Chris was like, I know what it is. It's a Japanese steakhouse. And we looked it up on Google Maps, and it was a Japanese steakhouse.
Oh yeah. Have you ever?
No.
No, but it's not very good.
It looks good though.
What else you got? Joey, any final questions?
No, we got his tickles. So, and you know,
when are you coming through Kingston? When's your band coming through Kingston or Woodstock?
I imagine this spring. I think next summer, the band is going to go spend a little time in Vermont. So we're going to be out that way, probably doing a bunch of shows around out there in the summertime, because my drummer, Ethan, his dad has a spot with like a big drum room cabin studio that we're going to kind of turn into a studio next summer up in Vermont, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we're definitely going to be out that way. And then probably while we're out there with the whole band, we're going to just hop up and down the East Coast a bunch and play shows.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Okay. So for our listeners, give them the socials coordinates. Where can they find you?
Chris_Galen on the gram and Chris Galen on TikTok. I definitely post a lot of random and silly shit on both of those.
And that's so, G-A-E-L-E-N.
L-A-N.
L-A-N. Had it, got it wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom had an angel come to her in a dream and tell her to name me that, apparently. That's how that story goes.
Wow.
Wow.
I was born on Good Friday, so there.
Valentine's Day.
Oh.
You, my my grandfather was born on the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, actually. It's a good story.
Ooh.
Yeah, we have the newspaper article for it. It's pretty good.
What is he's on like page 10 and the massacre is on page 1?
Massacre was just like the whole newspaper, I'm pretty sure. But
Chris Galen, it's great to see you, old friend. We are so proud of you and so excited about Just Another Love Song. It is legit.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
We cannot wait to see more and are so happy to hear how you're doing and how it's happening. Because listeners, it's the secret sauce you just heard. You got to have some discipline and do your thing. It's not that complicated. And you know, keep an eye out for the tickle, and when it happens, grab hold of it and don't let go. Oh, speaking of which, when I opened a text from you recently, I saw like it did that thing where it flipped back, you know, in time, and I was looking at some kombucha bottles that you'd made a couple summers ago and wondering how your kombucha brewing operation is going these days.
My kombucha brewing operation is momentarily on pause, but it's mostly actually.
What's that?
I'm mostly a June guy. I like the honey. But on another note, I also started making my own chocolate.
Ooh.
I bought cacao beans from a collective farm in Colombia, and I roast them and chuck and hull them, and then I have a cacao grinder that I mix with chocolate, and I make my own chocolate bars.
Wow. I've never heard of anyone doing that.
Oh, they're unbelievably good.
All right. Well, bring some with you when you come east, please.
Yeah.
Just Another Love Song. Chris Galen, good talking to you, buddy.
We love you, Chris.
Love you too.
Cheers.
Bye. Peace. Oh, I'm so happy for him. He's doing so good.
I don't believe this is an invasion of privacy to say so, because we alluded to it a couple times in there. Chris Galen, like Duff McDonald, has occasionally had a little trouble keeping his life on the rails. And Chris Galen is firmly in the seat now. He seems great. He's making great music. Yeah. He's making total, complete, like the stuff he's saying makes real sense to me. He can articulate the growth process. That's not easy to do.
Right.
And it just sounds like he's got it all going on there. That's amazing.
And chocolate making.
Yeah.
I'm totally chocolate.
Made us look bad, right? I counter
no,
your kombucha.
No, he inspired
with,
us. You're looking at it the wrong
chocolate bars. Yes,
you're looking at it
exactly
the wrong way.
It's not
I'm
a bad
inspired
feeling. It's a good
I'm
feeling.
I'm inspired.
On which note, I've got one for you, Joey.
All right.
This one is it's one of those like old usages of words, that is gone out of favor, but I think that we should bring back. You know how the annoying people online say we should normalize doing this again, and it's like I would like to normalize the following: the word botheration.
It's
so basically it's just a sophisticated way of saying bother. He has caused us a great deal of unnecessary botheration.
Winnie the Pooh used to say, oh bother. Oh,
right?
Bother.
Botheration. Yeah.
Botheration.
I was going to say Chris's claim to make chocolate bars and to try to, you know, one-up me caused me a little bit of botheration, but I'm okay with it now.
It was no bother at all, actually.
It was no bother at all. Okay. So, wrapping things up here.
Some inspiration for us.
Some inspiration. Sri Aurobindo is still on vacation. We are reading, and we are still reading volume 2 of Bhagavad Gita, the divine message from Swami, Swami Abedananda, one of Sri Ramakrishna's disciples. And they're talking about he's talking about the truth. And it's a really interesting passage because it's about old and new and all the same thing. Vedanta is the Hindu philosophy, which is basically dedicated to a worship of the eternal truth. So here's a passage from his book. He quotes Krishna saying from the Bhagavad Gita, "I am the author of Vedanta." And now here's Swami Abedananda. He says, "Here you will notice that Vedanta is the oldest spiritual scripture, yet it is the newest, because every time we read it, it is new. Every time we study and understand it, it is new. Truth can never grow old, although it is the oldest thing in the world. When the phenomenal universe did not exist, the sun and the moon did not exist, even then the eternal truth existed. It is the oldest of all, yet it will be new to you when you analyze it."
Touching truth.
Right? So when we discover things, you haven't found something new. You just found the truth that's been around forever, and it seems new to you because you just found it.
Discovered.
Thank you, Chris Galen.
Thank you, Chris.
Just Another Love Song. Check it out on Spotify. And thank you, listeners. We'll be back with you in a week.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to How to Tickle Yourself with your host, Duff McDonald, and me, Joey of Rockledge. You can help us by liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast with others. You can talk to us and see what else is happening on Instagram and Facebook at How to Tickle Yourself. This program was recorded in Studio B of the historic Rockledge Recording Studio. Right here, right now, our original 16-part theme music was written and recorded by the legendary Paul Reddick and Kyle Ferguson of the Sidemen, with Steve Mariner on bass and drums and in the mixing room. This podcast is produced and distributed by Storic Media. Our editor is Oscar Desiderio. Our producers are Kristen Verbitsky and Chuck LaBella. For more information, visit storicmedia.com. That's storicmedia.com.